The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air.
Well, praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith broadcast. Word of Faith Netcast, I should say. This is the video edition. The Word of Faith broadcast is available on Word of Faith Radio. And I'd encourage you to check out Word of Faith Radio because we are on Word of Faith Radio Monday through Friday at 11:30 a.m. So check that out. But right now, we want to get into the Word of Faith Netcast, which is our video edition. And we are excited to be able to bring this to you on a semi-regular basis. I'd like to make it weekly. We try to make it weekly, but we don't always get there because there's always so many things going on. But I do want to encourage you to take advantage of Word of Faith Radio. Word of Faith Radio is the ministry of Word of Faith Broadcasting Incorporated, which is Harold and Peggy Cagle's ministry. It is not directly affiliated with our ministry here at Word of Faith Ministries. That is, as an underneath this ministry, it is a separate ministry. But we are affiliated with Brother Harold and with Word of Faith Broadcasting Incorporated because I'm technical director of Word of Faith Radio. And so, in that sense, there's a connection. But I tell you what, I'm excited about what's going on with Word of Faith Radio. Good things are happening there. And as I have mentioned before, we have a very special Word of Faith Radio rally that's coming up just a few months away, really. I mean, you know, as time goes by, which is very quickly, it's going to be September the 15th before you know it. And that is a Sunday evening. I just really want you to plan to attend that very special meeting with Jesse Duplantis as the speaker. That's going to be exciting. So be sure to come out for that special meeting with Jesse Duplantis, the Word of Faith Radio Rally. We're going to be talking Word of Faith Radio at that rally, so announcing some good things that are going to be happening. We're also going to mention SpeakFaith.tv. Of course, that is going strong, and I encourage you to check it out. You can get it at the main website for SpeakFaith.tv, which is SpeakFaith.tv. That is the URL complete in itself. And you can also go to the live feed, which is abbreviated as sftv.io, and you can check that out on your computer as well. So good things are available to you through all these different aspects of ministry. Now let's get into the Word of God for this particular program. We're going to be talking from Acts chapter 10. So get out your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 10, because you need to see it out of your own Bible. Now, to set this up a little bit, Peter has been shown by God that he needs to go preach to some Gentiles. And this came as a shock to Peter, because Peter did not know that the gospel at this time, he did not know the gospel was available to the Gentiles. He thought it was only for the Jews. But God had to supernaturally reveal to him through a vision that the gospel, the good news through Jesus Christ, was available to the Gentiles. And I'm sure glad that God showed him that, because I'm a Gentile. And so in order for me to receive, it had to come through that means of that revelation that God gave to Peter. So let's look at this. Peter goes and preaches at this particular Gentile's house, and he says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, this is what I want you to see. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Now, we've talked about this phrase before, respecter of persons. What does that mean? To have respect to persons. Well, the best way to think about it, one of the most biblical examples I can think of about respect of persons is what they were doing in the book of Corinthians when it came to those that were incorrectly participating in the Lord's Supper. That is, they were looking at it as just a time to get together and feast. And actually, the Corinthian church were preferring or respecting one group of people over another. They looked at the rich people and those that had a lot of financial wherewithal and said, oh, yeah, we're going to give them the best wine and the best food, and we're going to really bless these folks. But the poor folks, they just get whatever's left over, you know. We don't have respect toward them. See what I'm saying? So respect of persons has to do with being partial. As a matter of fact, the New King James here says, let me go over to the New King James, because it says it rather directly, and that is verse 34. I clicked it when I did. It left that reference. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. He is not partial to the Jews over the Gentiles. In this case, he is not partial to you over me or me over you. He shows no partiality. God is a good God. Now, I like the scripture over the Old Testament. I talked about this before in another teaching about the fact that to show respect of persons is not good. That's what the scripture says. To show respect of persons is not good. And we know God is good. Therefore, he shows no partiality. You say, wow, Dr. Bill, you are really beating this horse. Well, I'm trying to get you to see something here. God does not differentiate between one person and another when it comes to being partial. He is not partial. He is equally good to all. He is equally blessing all. He is equally out to bless everyone. He wants everyone to be born again. He wants everyone to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. He wants everyone to be healed. He wants everyone to be blessed. And I know that comes as a shock to a lot of folks. They say, oh, now, Dr. Bill, I don't know about that. I mean, everyone? What about old Uncle Charlie? Uncle Charlie is a bad dude. I mean, he treats everybody bad. Surely God does not want him healed. He does not want him blessed. He doesn't want him saved. Yes, he does. God shows no partiality. God wants everybody to be blessed, saved, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. That's what the word sozo means. And he wants all men to be sozoed. Yeah, that's a Greek word, sozo. It means to be saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, and delivered from temporal evil. It's a big word, I know. And it's got a lot of meaning. I know. But I tell you what, it's a powerful, powerful truth that God wants to bless everyone. All right? Let's keep reading. Acts 10:35. But in every nation, whoever fears him, this is still the New King James, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee unto the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now notice, Jesus of Nazareth, it speaks of his earthly name, Jesus of Nazareth, okay? Jesus Christ is talking about Jesus the Messiah. That is a title that's given unto him, Jesus the Messiah. His actual name is Jesus of Nazareth. And it says here of the man, Jesus of Nazareth, that he, now before we say that, let me back up and say this. Over in the book of Ephesians, the Bible says that Jesus laid aside all power, all authority that he had as God when he came to earth as a man. He laid all that aside. So in his earthly ministry, he wasn't functioning as the eternal, almighty, powerful God when he ministered to the sick, for instance. Now, when he went to the cross, only Jesus could have gone to the cross and borne the sins of all mankind the way that he did. And he had to do that supernaturally through divine power. God himself made Jesus a sacrifice at that moment in time. But during Jesus' earthly ministry as a man, he operated as a man anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Why would Jesus, if he was operating as the Son of God during his earthly ministry only, why would he even need to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power? He's God. He didn't need to be anointed separately, uniquely, with the Holy Ghost and power, if he was functioning entirely as the Son of God during his earthly ministry. I've heard a lot of people say, well, now, Dr. Bill, you know, you can't say that you can go around and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, no matter what the Bible says. That's what they say. But they say, Dr. Bill, you can't do that. Jesus could do that because he was the Son of God. Well, see, that assumes that he was ministering as the Son of God, that only he was uniquely qualified to lay hands on the sick and they recovered. Well, let me ask you this. When Jesus went back to heaven and left the Holy Spirit in his place, and the Holy Spirit anointed the men in the upper room, and Peter got up to preach on that day of Pentecost, and then a little bit later, he ministered and laid hands on folks, and they got healed. Now, you saying Peter's the Son of God? What about James and John? Are they the Son of God? As in being the unique divine Son of God? No, they're just believers. They're just men anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. So here the Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man Jesus, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now notice that. Excuse me. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now I think that's interesting. Because being anointed by the Holy Spirit is the anointing that we as believers walk in. But he also anointed him with power to heal the sick. Now, I could get into a long, involved teaching here, and it would take a while. So, I'm gonna do the abbreviated version. If you go look at and study after Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, you'll find out that he said that he was uniquely anointed with or for a healing ministry. All right? He talks about when God spoke to him, had him put out his hands, and Jesus put his finger in the center of his hand, and his hand began to burn. And he said God uniquely anointed him with a special ministry to lay hands on the sick and have them recover. That's a special anointing. And Brother Hagin talks about the special anointing. Now, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16, excuse me, let me go over to Mark chapter 16. I hadn't planned to do that, but it'd be worthwhile. You know, when you vote, your throat gets to tickling a little bit. That's what's happening. My throat gets to tickling because I've been preaching so hard, and because of that, you kind of have this sense that you want to cough. I am restraining that. Hallelujah. All right. Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow who? Those who believe." No special healing anointing, just regular believers. "Those who believe, in my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So this is any believer can lay hands on the sick, and folks will recover. We have that promise right here. This is a sign that will follow those who believe. Now why? Well, he goes on to say in verse 19, So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they, the disciples, and his followers and believers, went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, accompanying them, and confirming the word that they preached with accompanying signs. The King James says, with signs following. All right? So when we preach the word, now like right now, I am reading the word. Got it on my screen right over here on the computer. I am preaching the word. And because of that, signs will follow. All right? So I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay? That doesn't require a special anointing. However, on December the 22nd of 1977, in a vision, God spoke to me and laid his finger in my hand. Actually, it was my right hand. He didn't lay it on both of my hands like he did Brother Hagin, but on my right hand, and it began to burn. And he said, I'm giving you a special anointing for the healing ministry. That special anointing will occur when you feel the burning in your hand. You are to lay hands on the sick and simply say, this is a little different than what he told Brother Hagin. He said, simply say, in the name of Jesus. That was the instruction he gave me. And when he said that, I began to go do that. Now, I slacked off on it. I'm sorry to say. I slacked off on it because, to be honest, I wasn't interested. I know that sounds terrible, but it was a gift that God gave me that I really wasn't seeking. I didn't really care about, didn't really want. But he gave it to me, and he said, when you feel that anointing burning in your hand, you lay hands on the sick, you say, in the name of Jesus, and they shall be healed. And I began to do that to a limited extent. Like I said, I wasn't terribly excited, but I did. And I saw miraculous things, powerful things begin to happen. I will never forget. In one particular meeting, it was a regular Sunday church service, and I wasn't even preaching. Brother Ted Potts, a friend of mine, was preaching. And he began to preach the word, and I don't even remember exactly all the details of how this happened, but basically, Brother Ted turned to me and said, you know, would you like to minister, you know, to a limited degree at the end of the meeting there? And so I began to minister with the special anointing. And I mentioned, I told it to people what had happened to me and how the Lord had appeared to me in a vision and did what he did with my hand and so forth, all of that. And there was a guy there, never forget it, and this guy was just sitting there, you know, so to speak, minding his own business. And when I called for folks to come up to have hands laid on him, he came up. Well, he was standing right there in front of me, and I laid my hand on him and said, in the name of Jesus. That's all I said. I was following instructions. He fell out under the power and hit the floor. Well, now, that's new to me. I was a Baptist boy. I didn't know anything about falling out under the power. Guy falls out under the power, and I'm like, okay. He's laying there, and he just laid there a while, and I thought, well, I guess I'm supposed to keep going. So I called somebody else up, laid hands on them. They went out of the power. Different things happened. Well, this guy just lays there for a while. All of a sudden, his name was Neil Kearns. Never forget. Neil Kearns. Neil gets up, jumps up to his feet, goes running to the bathroom there at the church. Well, I was fascinated by this. I watched him go. And I thought, okay. And then I hear screaming. And I'm like, oh my goodness, is he okay? He comes running out. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. I said, Neil, what's gone? He said, I had a growth. I had a growth down, you know, between my legs. Kind of a private place, but at any rate, it was a big knot. And I'd been praying, and I'd been confessing the word, and I'd been doing everything Brother Hagin taught us to do. You know, confess the word, stand in faith. I thought, well, praise the Lord. But he said, you laid hands on me and said in the name of Jesus, I went out under the power. I ran back to the bathroom, and it's gone. Completely gone, completely healed. Well, now, you know, for a former Baptist boy, I was like, whoa, what is this? I didn't know what to make of it. But he received his healing instantly. Manifestation. And then, you know, that never came back, never was a problem for him again. He went on walking in faith, and to this day is healed and whole. Lives in Ashbury area. Praise the Lord. But I didn't know what to make all of this. I had all kinds of fascinating, amazing things happen. One time, I've told this story before. You know, a lot of these stories don't put a good light on me, and that's okay. But, you know, this is another one where I come out kind of on the bad side of it, but that's okay. This is one evening I was at home. At the time, I was on WLXN radio, 50,000-watt station out of Lexington, North Carolina at the time. And I had a radio program, and people knew me through the radio program. So, I'm at home, and I was cooking supper. Now, I like to cook occasionally, okay? Very rarely, but occasionally. And I like to make a broiled steak, and I had a pan with a kind of a, what do you call it? Kind of like a grate, you know, kind of thing on the top, and then you put water in the bottom of it, and it kind of helps keep the meat fresh, or not fresh, but what am I looking for? Tender, you know what I'm saying? And I had a special thing I did where I put vinegar on it to break down the cells of the meat and tenderize it, just all kinds of stuff, you know? And I was doing all this stuff, and I was preparing supper. And so I was cooking all this, and I had all this going, and the phone rings. Now, if you are cooking, and you're going to get the food ready, and I was getting ready for me and my wife, and going to get the food ready, it's all just about ready. You want to eat it while it's hot. You know what I'm saying? And the phone rings. Well, I was not pleased that I had to answer the phone. So I go over and pick up the phone. Hello. You know, not the best attitude, but I kept my cool. I said, hello. They said, yes, Brother Bill. It's before I had my doctorate. So, you know, Brother Bill, I'd like for you to pray for me. Well, I kind of rolled my eyes, and I said, okay. I said, what do you want me to pray for? She said, I want you to pray for my eyes. I said, all right, sister, we're going to pray for your eyes. I said, just lay your hand there. You're holding the phone. Lay your hand on your eyes, you know, and we're going to pray. And so I prayed some little Mickey Mouse prayer. I don't even know what I prayed. I'm sure I used a few scripture, and I prayed. And I said, well, praise the Lord, sister. You're healed in Jesus' name. She said, thank you, Brother Bill. And I hung up the phone. And I went back to cooking my supper. And I put it out. Me and my wife ate supper. And that's it, as far as I knew. Well, the next month, I had a meeting in Lexington, North Carolina, at a hotel there. It used to be the Holiday Inn. It's changed now. But it used to be the Holiday Inn there in Lexington, right off of the interstate. And I had a meeting there. And so I go to this meeting, and I'm up there preaching. And there's a lady, after the service, lady comes up with her friend. And she says, oh, Brother Bill, I wanted to talk to you. I was the lady who called you on the phone. Well, I immediately thought, oh, man, oh, I really didn't give my best effort for this lady. You know what I'm saying? I was feeling a little guilty. But I kept my cool, and I said, well, praise the Lord, sister. What was it again that was your problem that I prayed for you about? She said, my eyes. I said, oh, really? Well, how are your eyes? She says, I can see. And I said, well, praise the Lord. You can see now? You mean you couldn't see before? She said, oh, no, I was blind. And the lady with her said, oh, yeah, she was blind, couldn't see a thing. And I thought, no, wait a minute. You called me up and I prayed, and now all of a sudden you can see? She said, oh, yeah, I got healed. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Now, I felt about it. I felt about knee high to a grasshopper. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean by that? That's an old country expression. Knee high to a grasshopper. I'm like, oh, Lord, here I am. Felt like I just gave it a passing prayer. Didn't have any heart in it. You know what I'm saying? You know when you're really, you're really getting into it. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't. I was just cooking and getting ready for supper. So I just wanted to pray and get this lady off the phone. Oh, man. I tell you, like I said, this does not make me look good. But that's okay. So, but I'm standing there, and she's telling me she was healed, and she was blind, but she now saw because of us praying on the phone. Well, I tell you what, it gave me a revelation, a strong revelation. Now, let me share that with you right now. You ready? This is a good one. It ain't me. It ain't up to me whether somebody gets healed or not. I'm not the healer. God's the healer. God just wants you to be an instrument. You're the one with the hands. You see what I'm saying? You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But all you got to do is lay hands on the sick. The recovering's up to God. All right? That's a revelation for you right there. So anyway, let's get back to the scripture. Boy, some of these stories, you just don't want to tell some of these stories. You know what I'm saying? All right. Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. This is the New King James. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name will they cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Now, that doesn't mean take up serpents like snake handlers. Okay? That's more like Paul on the island of Melita, where he reached down to get a piece of firewood, and he accidentally picked up a snake. The snake bit him, but instead of dying, he shook it off into the fire and lived. And the people there on the village thought he was a god because he shook off the snake into the fire and lived. No, he believed the scripture where Jesus said, if you take up a serpent accidentally, then it will not hurt you. If you drink anything deadly accidentally, then it will by no means hurt you. Okay? Don't go around trying to prove anything. You go prove something to everybody else, you're going to be dead for tempting the Lord your God. All right? So don't do it. But anyway, that's another preach altogether. But at any rate, it will by no means hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. As I said, the recovery is up to God. It is entirely in his hands, not in yours. So don't you sweat it. I know a lot of people say, I'm not going to lay hands on people. What if they don't get healed? Well, what are you thinking of? Your reputation or God's? Amen. Most of you thinking about your reputation, not God's. All right, so you just be obedient. All right? And that's what he was telling me to do with that special anointing. Now, again, there's a difference here between the regular ministry that any believer can do by laying hands on the sick and they shall recover according to the scripture, and the special anointing. Now, wow, I hadn't planned to get into this at all, but let's go ahead and go over to Acts chapter 19. Let us see here. Well, no, I believe it is Acts chapter 19. Here we go. Yeah. Acts chapter 19. You can tell I didn't plan on saying this. This is just all coming as we're teaching here, all right? Let's go to Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. The King James says special miracles by the hands of Paul. Okay? Special miracles. Now, when God showed me in that vision and laid his hand or his finger in my center of my hand and began to burn, he said, I want you to read Acts chapter 19, which is why I went to Acts chapter 19 just now to show you this. How God used Paul in a special way, this is the special anointing that Brother Hagin talks about, to work unusual miracles. Now, a miracle to us is unusual in and of itself, right? It's a miracle. It is a supernatural superseding of the natural with the supernatural, okay? I like what I heard somebody say a long time ago, the supernatural is natural to God. Did you get that? The supernatural is natural to God, all right? So the supernatural is the realm that we can walk in as a believer. But these are unusual miracles, unusual, special anointings, all right, special miracles that occurred by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons, which were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So in other words, Paul could wear a handkerchief or a piece of cloth on his body that could be taken to someone, and then when it's laid on them, that anointing, that power is resident in the cloth, goes into that person, and they get healed and blessed and delivered from demonic spirits, if that is what's in operation at the time. Now, what about this? Well, my pastor, Ed Taylor, is also anointed for these special anointings or miracles that can be when he lays hands on cloth and they go to other people. Many, many, many cases where cloth was taken from him that he wears while he's preaching. People lay those cloths on folks and they get healed supernaturally. There was one instance, I don't know all the details, Pastor Ed would have to tell the story. He'd tell it correctly, but let me just give you what I remember of it. He said there was a guy who had a really unique, strange disease. Now, I've never heard of this, but essentially the disease was an emaciating disease that almost made it look like you were growing backwards. In other words, you got shorter, your limbs got shorter. It's like you were just drawing up and getting smaller, okay? So it was almost like you were reverse growing. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't know what that disease is or what it's called. I don't know the details. But this guy had this particular disease, and a lady asked Pastor to give her a handkerchief that he was wearing while he was preaching. She laid it on him, and the boy was healed. He began to grow in the right direction and grew and became strong and went on, I think, to play sports and all kinds of things from being healed by that special anointing that was in the cloth. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, don't worry. You'll never be bothered with it. Amen. You got to believe these things. Do you get that? If you don't believe it, you won't be bothered with it. But if you'll believe it, you can take advantage of it. All right? And I've had the same kind of thing. Claws taken from me have been taken to people that needed to be healed. And when they were laid on them, they would sleep with them on their pillow or whatever, they'd be healed. He said, Dr. Bill, I don't believe that. Well, don't worry about it. You won't be bothered with it. All right? You know, it's like Jerry Savelle said about financial prosperity. Same exact kind of thing. He said a lot of people are all upset. And they're saying, well, I don't believe in that prosperity stuff. Well, he said, well, don't worry. You won't be bothered with it. You ain't going to prosper. Amen. Oh, my. I tell you what. I just looked at the time. We're out of time. Where does the time go? We're going to have to stop right here and pick it up again another time. But I wanted to share some of these things with you. These things, these miraculous occurrences do happen. And you need to hook up to them. And you need to take advantage of them. Now, if you'd like to write me here, you could write me at Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, zip code 27262. You can also write me at my email address, which is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. You can check out our website and get all kinds of good information off of our website, all kinds of good teaching and everything else. Really sorry to have to run so fast, but I just saw, well, we are way out of time. So we're going to have to go. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.